Good morning, everybody. I guess everybody else is just coming in here about 5-10 minutes a little later, but that's all right. That's all right. We'll go and get started. Last week, if y'all have any trouble hearing me, let me know. I think it's fine. I listened to the recording last week, and everything sounded good. I just need to get close to everybody else that was giving their input. So I could hear Faye fine. I could hear Lisa fine, Cindy fine. I just had to turn the volume up to hear Ed and Lee back there last week. So I'll just, whenever somebody has some input, I'm just going to walk toward you and the mic will pick it up. That way anybody listening online later can get it. I'm going to go ahead and start us off in prayer and then we'll get started. Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do for us. Just pray, Lord, for just your impartation to go to the people this morning, Lord, and just for them to receive everything you have for them. Just help me as I speak and just release everything that you have for me to release, Lord, and just anything you don't want me to just hold it, and you do as you will with it later. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we picked up, or left off, rather, last week about Abraham first, and then Sarah laughing at the Lord saying, you know, he's going to give him a son, and I kind of stopped with some comments I made here about God ain't going to give us something we can't steward, and there may be some character building in the process of us receiving the promise he's given us. So, you know, like I said, like the thing about the wineskins, you know, you can't put old wine in a new wineskin. You have to have a new wineskin to hold the new wineskin. The old wineskin will burst. So, same thing, you ain't going to give $1 million to a homeless person. You know, I mean, they don't know how to handle $1 million. So, I felt like the Lord really wanted me to emphasize this point before I get started. If God says something to you, and he says something to you, and it's like what I call like a life moment, or a destiny moment, or a destiny promise, whatever you want to call it, whether it's through a prophecy, a person gives you a dream, a vision, whatever kind of encounter you have with the Lord, there are plenty of opportunities for you to go into unbelief and downgrade that. So what I felt like the Lord really just wanted me to say basically was don't settle. Don't settle if you have something you're waiting on. Just stay with it and realize that faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Because the carnal mind, this thing that's at enmity with God, is going to go by what we see. And if you go by what you see, you're immediately going to go into unbelief. Like Pastor John, I listened to this service last week online, said, you know, fear is the enemy of faith. Fear and faith will counteract each other. And I'm going to get into some things later on here about what the Apostle James says and wavering and things like that. But, you know, just in my own personal life in this here, you know, what God said was a biological child for me and Christine. He wanted us to have a biological child, and I know this is a sensitive subject, but this is my story. For me and Christine, she had one of these tests, Mellon tests, that said she's possibly hitting menopause early and things like that. We just stood on what God had said, and, I mean, she had some dreams about having a little boy. God spoke to me in 2009 or through a prophecy through a friend. Psalms 126 through 127, 128. Had a dream in 2020 about carrying on the family tree, biological family tree. So you're going to have things come at you, but the temptation is like it says, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, is you have to be single-minded. You have to be set. Your mind has to be set on what God has said to you. You cannot, don't waver, don't go back. Don't, if it's right here, you don't go down to here. You don't go, you don't say, okay, well, I'm going to get me a Hagar and make an Ishmael. No, you stick, Isaac's coming. You have to wait for God's, like it says here, God's appointed time. Now, there's an appointed time for something. Sometimes it's just waiting on our growth, like I said. So I really want to emphasize that point this morning, that you have to stand, like Faye was saying last week. There's done everything to stand. So you stand and you stay with it. You stick with it. I really wanted to emphasize that this morning, you know, because people was like, you know, you can adopt. I was like, well, that's, you know, if that's what the Lord leads us to. It's like the night that I really need to get started. But it's like the night that they told us, we went to the OB, you know, I'm not going to waste your time, the doctor said. I think y'all just need to do IVF. Y'all are over 40. You've tried for a year and a half. I was like, well, okay. Went home, prayed that night, and me and Christine prayed about it. And, you know, I'm fine with that, Lord. That's what you want to do. But, she didn't hear anything back until 12 days later. And he said in the prayer journal, he said, don't worry about getting pregnant. Okay. Well, I'm not going to worry. And then 5 days later, we're pregnant. So find out we're pregnant anyway. So just stand, agree with God, like to study, believe, And you may have to wait, not that you want to hear this 15 years like me before you have the first promise about a family, about having a kid, but you may not. It may be 5 months, maybe 5 hours, maybe 5 weeks. The point is, stand. Stand on what God's told you. All right, so I want to open up with this question because this is talking about, I'm going to go back here where it says, where Sarah laughed. It says in Genesis 18, 13, 15, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the point in time I will turn to you, at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And the question I want to open up with is there anything in here, anybody in here want to share anything that the Lord has ever said anything to you that seemed too good to be true or even impossible, something that told you, this is for you, and it is just hard for you to swallow. Is there anybody here that want to share anything on that? Sure, Ed. It can pick you up from here.
Well, when you use the word about just stand.
Yeah.
In my experience, one of the hardest things in the Christian life is when we have to wait on something.
Yeah.
And so it's not like just standing. It's like the hardest thing mm-hmm. you may have to do in your life while you're doing that. And all kinds of things start coming at you mm-hmm. while you're waiting.
Yes.
And you start to doubt, did I hear God?
Yes.
Right? Then, okay, if I did hear God, then either does he really care? Does he really love me? Or maybe he loves me, but he's just not really strong enough to handle this situation. And those are just the classic kinds of doubts and
yes.
fears that come to our mind. And so you're praying, and it feels like your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. And it's just so hard and confusing. You can get so desperate and discouraged. So it's not really just wait.
Right.
It's like be prepared to roll up your sleeves and exercise that faith and declare the truth about
yes.
God, that he hasn't forgotten you, that he's with you, that he loves you, that he has a perfect plan for your life. Don't let go of it. It's like
yes.
fight tooth and
that's
nail
right. yeah.
to hang on to your faith.
Yeah.
Because, let's just face it. It is a very, very hard thing to do.
It is.
But he does help us.
It
and
is.
When the answer comes, oh, it's glorious.
Yeah, it's a tree of life. They say hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire realized is a tree of life. That's good, Ed. Thank you. So it says done everything to stand. Stand. Well, like Ed said, you may be standing, but here's fiery darts coming at you. Did God really say this? Did God really say? So that's a good point because, like I said, there are things the devil's going to come and make you question. Did I hear God right? Because when I received that word in 2009, I was in no position to be a husband or a father. Just a little bit about me. I was on antidepressants for 28 years. My generation, I guess you could say, was an experiment for the APA to kind of justify themselves, but in my opinion, at that time I was at antidepressants for 28 years. We got any kids in here? Okay. Video game addict for 21 years. Bad stuff on the internet. Addiction for 18 years. So I was in no position at that point to be any of those things that was prophesied to me. But like Ed said, you know, the thing is, you just have to dig your heels in and just stand on what was said. And the thing about Abraham, like about Abraham, is the story of Abraham, is God speaks to him multiple times about the same thing. And he's like, man, God, what are you going to give me? You know, and then he says, he's gave him the sentence, and he says, specifies a biological son. So it's like, revelation is progressive. God's going to speak to you about something, but he's going to unveil it more over time so he can trust you more and more with it. It's not like he's just going to give you the whole thing. Like he didn't give, Abram, his name was at the time, the whole deed to the land of Canaan. He said, you know, I'm going to multiply you, bless you, and all the nations will be blessed. And I'll bless you and make you a blessing. That right there, you know, we're blessed to be a blessing to others. But it's a battle, and I was asking the Lord earlier how much he wants me to go, because we didn't finish what I wanted to last week, but that's okay. I'm just going to briefly summarize some things here. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Well, the thing that we a lot of times forget is faith is a choice.
Yeah.
And it's like when Jesus and Thomas said he didn't believe that was Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, put your finger in the hole in my hand and your hand
right
on the side. And Jesus said, blessed is those who believe that have not seen.
Yeah.
Because those that have seen it, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Right.
We got to stand on that. And then I've been studying in the book of James lately, and when you go to 1:6, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man. And then you go on down to 12, and he says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised.
Yeah.
Well, approved, well, like you say, you got to stand on your faith. I believe that.
Yeah.
And I'm not wavering off of that, you know.
Right.
And my son, everybody's prayed for him, and the prayers come. When we had the Sunday night singing, I got the word that it's going to be a clip and snip. Well, when he talked to the surgeon this week, it's far enough up that they can cut both ends and put it back together.
Yeah.
But the trial is, you know, he's going to have to go through the surgery and maybe chemo and maybe radiation. So it's not just that easy, but our belief is, hey, that word clip and snip was where that they can cut it out and
yeah,
put it back together, and then after he goes through the trial. But to me, that word where in 12 where it says after he has been approved, we got to stand on it.
Yeah.
And just remember, that's what God said.
Yeah. You looking at my notes, I think. I'm getting that, I think, on next week or the week after. But yeah, that's true. That whole thing about approval thing, that's actually, it says that's what in Hebrews 11, they talk about, they gained approval through their faith. It's something you can't just say, I got faith. You got to live it out, because if your faith's not real to you, let's be real honest here. I mean, what are we doing? Why aren't we even trying to be a Christian or saying we are a Christian if your faith's not real to you? Unbelievers are going to see it. Our faith has to be a real thing that we're living out, because if it's not, how we expect to reach those who don't know the Lord? I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not sticking my notes here, but it's okay. I feel like this is where the Lord wants to take it. Most of my life, you know, okay, people say I was a decent guy, but my faith didn't really start taking off till six, seven years ago. That's when I started walking with the Lord. It's one thing to know about God, but it's another thing to know him. You know, you can know the Bible, but do you know the God of the Bible? Because if it's not if your faith is not sincere, it's not authentic, people will look at that tree, and you might have a little tiny fruit here, but they're going to notice when you got fruit and it's falling down at their feet because you use this big old tree, you know. And that's the thing. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be real to you. And that comes from relationship. That don't come from religion. That don't come from going to church every Sunday. That comes from knowing him. A lot of people, when they get started off, they're like, well, how do I do that? It's like anything. Like, if you're spending time with somebody, you're going to get to know them. You know, I felt very awkward. I'll just be honest and share a little bit of my quiet time. When I started just praising and dancing before the Lord years ago, I feel like an idiot. I'm a man. Men don't do this. Well, praise the Lord, I did it. And, you know, I've had some encounters with the Lord. I share a little bit about that. But, you know, I've had dreams. You know, God speaks to people in different ways, but don't ever cut the Lord off if he speaks to you in an unusual way. I'll just share another story real quick before I get in here, because I feel like we're probably just going to jump past a lot of what I got here, because except for one part. It was years ago, I think it was 2019. I don't remember what day it was exactly. I got it on my phone, but I ain't going to bother looking it up, because I can tell you pretty much what happened. For some reason, I kept seeing the numbers 2-2-2 at that time in my life, and I was like, man, this is weird, and you know how the world says angel numbers and all this weird stuff. Well, you know, God created numbers. God can speak through numbers. So I felt like what the Lord was saying at the time was Mark 2:22, which talked about wineskins. And then I started seeing, because I see 22:22 every now and then. But I remember one day in particular, the part I want to share was I was driving to lunch and a school bus stopped. And it was, because I was eating lunch late that day, it was 2:22 on the front of the school bus. I went to Ingles to fill up on gas, and I filled up exactly, I was about out of gas that day, I don't usually do this, 22.22 gallons at 2:22. I was like, and I took a photo, and it turned right at 2:23 on my phone when I did that. I was like, you serious? But you know, that's just an example. So don't short the, or limit God, I guess would be a good way to put that. So here in Genesis 18, God, you know, talks, it goes on to the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. He settles in what would be called the land of the Philistines and Gerar in 19. The whole debacle with Abimelech and his wife, you know, saying that Sarah was his sister. You know, that was just, I wanted to mention that because that was a failure of Abraham's. He did not trust God enough to carry out his promise to multiply his descendants because he thought these people were going to kill him because of how attractive his wife was. Like I said, nobody does this perfectly. So, like Ed said, you know, sometimes you doubt God even said what he said to you. And yet, Abraham still called the father of faith, even though he fell on his face and laughed at God. So I think that's encouraging for us when he told him that he's going to have a son. It's funny though, because you know, Abraham said there's no fear of God in this place in verse 11, yet Abimelech has some fear of God because he listened to him in the dream. I think sometimes we just make presumptions about things, but the first time, fun fact, there is a healing by somebody in the Bible is when Abraham prayed for Abimelech. Let me jump down here to Chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. Said, the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time at which God had spoken to him. Verse 3 through 8. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Abraham was weaned. I think it's pretty cool that, you know, everybody knows the name Isaac. Well, most people know the name Isaac means laughter. And both Sarah and Abraham laughed at God almost in a mocking manner about this promise coming true. And now they laugh because they're happy. It's funny. My first response when that pregnancy test came back positive was I laughed because the same thing is the goodness of God hits you. I'm going to jump down to chapter 22 here because I want to talk about this test here. Verses 1 and 2. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. I think it's interesting. God said Isaac is his only son when he's got Ishmael. He called Ishmael his descendant, but he called Isaac his son, if you notice in the text here. I think one way of looking at that is God saw Isaac as his way of doing things, and Ishmael is man's way of doing things. So God's ways obviously are not our ways, and that God's ways, if we do things God's ways, we're not going to have the consequences of an Ishmael, which obviously was a very bad consequence. If God asked me to take my baby boy to an altar after he gave him and sacrificed him, I don't think I'd be like, no. that would be, it's amazing though, because at this point in history, you know, there isn't sacrifices for sin. I mean, there are sacrifices. Obviously, Cain and Abel did sacrifices to the Lord. You don't have the Levitical priesthood and their atonements and that sort of thing. But it's interesting because this right here is basically a test of Abraham's faith. And if God had, or if Abraham didn't know God or didn't trust God, he didn't have scriptures to stand on. All he had was a relationship and saw God's character over time. What's interesting, I'm going to kind of jump down here again. If you read in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And when he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, it was he to whom it was said, and Isaac, your descendant, shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received them back as a type. So Abraham in his heart had already decided God was faithful. He was going to carry out that promise, even to mean he had to raise Isaac from the dead. So, like I said, faith comes from relationship, comes from trust, and knowing God, knowing who God is. I'm glad none of us have to go through that test of being asked to do that. But and it's interesting because if you look back at Genesis 18, Abraham, you know, basically said, God, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Same thing. He's looking at God's character and saying, this is who God, the God I know is. In verses 3 through 8, Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, he raised his eyes up and saw the place from distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there. We will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Now Abraham didn't know, at least I don't think he knew what he was saying. It was prophetic, but let's read on verses 9 through 14. We're almost done with this part here. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. So basically, just to reiterate, Abraham, like, you know, you're saying, James, don't be double-minded. Abraham went into the trial single-minded. God is good. God is faithful. He's going to keep his promises. Like you said earlier, if you're double-minded, you're going to have trouble receiving from God, because a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. So Abraham believed God was faithful, just, and righteous. Let's see. And then basically, you know, God reiterates his promises. It actually says the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned with the young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. So I just kind of summarize with 3 points here, and from Abraham's life. The first one I put is believe God, and that means to actually go. You remember, he says, "Leave this land. I'm going to make you a great nation." And so the whole point of that is go. You know, he didn't, like I said, he didn't even tell him what land it was he was given to him. Abraham just had to go. Amen. You know, first two letters of God is go. You know, so that's the first point. The second point was what Lee and Ed, I think, commented on last week. Build altars that are multi-generational. Tell your children what God has done for you. Those moments, you know, those stones are going to stay. And like Jacob saw Abraham's stones over there at Bethel, at least I'm assuming he saw the altar there. I'm sure he did. Those stones are going to be a monument to your like Cornelius, who's that prayer life he had. It was a memorial before the Lord, you know, before Peter went over there to him. The angel of the Lord, even that angel appeared to him and said that to him. So, you know, whether you know it or not, your relationship with God is building something. It's building something for your kids, your grandkids, and honestly, you may not see it, but others will. So, you know, like I heard a preacher say one time, you get as much out of your relationship with God as you put into it, and I think that's a pretty good way of saying it. Now I wrote down, live that walk of faith out that you talked to them about. Like Abraham, you won't do it perfectly, but you can do it well. And I think that's self-explanatory. Abraham didn't do everything perfectly. He made some pretty big blunders, but he's the father of the faith, as we know. And what I'm going to get into, which we got about 15 minutes left, is talking about the seed of Abraham. I'm going to probably, I don't know what I'll do next week, but I'm just going to kind of read through this and talk a little bit about what this seed is, because Paul expounds upon that in the New Testament. If you remember Genesis 12, 1 through 3, he said, go forth from your country to Abram. He says, and your relatives, your fathers, out to the land which I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I'll curse, and all you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. If we go to Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9, Paul's talking to the Galatians here, obviously, but it's talking about, what he's talking about is the seed of Abraham. He said, even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. I like how it calls Abraham the believer there, because that's what we are. So the faith that we have comes from Abraham, according to these verses, meaning that he modeled what God wanted to do, and God chose Abraham to start this whole thing with faith. You know, the Jews look at it as, well, he started with us as this is to create a nation, but it went way beyond it, because it didn't say just nation. It said, I will bless all the nations. So, and in fact, he said, nations will come forth from you. Galatians 3, verses 11 through 14. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So right there, Paul's saying the blessing of Abraham, or the seed of Abraham, is Christ, which can only be received by faith. So Abraham's life is a model for that. I'm going to kind of expound on this a little bit, what Paul's saying, that the promises spoken to Abraham and to his seed do not, and he does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. That's Galatians 3:16. Now, there were Judaizers, yes, thank you. Lord, tongue-tied there. In the Galatia, in fact, they were trying to bring back circumcision and all this, saying that you got to be under law. But so in verses 22-26, he says, but the scriptures shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we're kept in custody under law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So the promise of faith is given to those who believe, not to those who follow the law. Like I said, it's a relationship. It's not a list of rules. You know, we know that here because we teach relationship, not a list of rules and regulations to follow. It's a, I mean, listen, if you're following Jesus and you love him, you know, some of those things he asks you to do ain't going to be fun, but man, you're going to do it out of love. It's not going to be a labor. It's not going to be, and he may, now the relationship part, when he asks you to give up something like a weight, I was talking the other day about, I'm just going to be transparent here. I'll just tell myself. This summer, I got on some chocolate peanut butter ice cream over at the Scoops. And I was buying like 4 pints every week and eating a pint about every night or every other night. And then I got to thinking, you know, that ain't healthy. I'm like, well, that ain't healthy. Oh, yeah, it's in here. Well, you know, I thought one day, you know, the Lord said, well, you need to spend less time on Facebook, probably pull back on that a little bit, and then, but you also need to quit eating so much ice cream, Jared. I'm like, Well, you know, I don't know if I need to say, get behind me, Satan, or if that's just my imagination. So I just, you know, so for like another week or two, I was eating, and I was like, one day I was like, hey, it just wasn't feeling good because I ate another pint of ice cream. Like, Lord, I think that was you. I'm just going to stop. So, you know. I had my another card for a free scoop over there on the kitchen table. Like, well, Lord, you know, it's like, man, it's not a sin, it's a weight, but it's hurting. You asked me to do it, so I'm gonna do it. So I did it. I didn't do it immediately, because like I said, I didn't know it was him immediately. But we gotta. He'll ask you to do those things, and sometimes I think the relationship part is when you're in relationship, that's when he's going to speak to you, because you're actually in relationship about things and ask you to give up the things that are hard, which ice cream shouldn't have been as hard as it was. Because, oh, yes, you can. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The thing is, he hasn't asked, it's you do what he has asked you to do.
Yeah.
Because you are an obedient son. And you said a moment ago that you wouldn't have been able to sacrifice your child. But he hasn't asked you to sacrifice your child.
Right.
And so you grow in your faith as he, it's because it is a total relationship, him and me.
Yeah.
So every time you talk about Abraham in that story, 7 years ago, our daughter, Mariah, didn't live.
Right.
And we we chose her name before we knew anything about her condition and the things that were going to happen in her body. And the Lord comforted us in our loss of our daughter with the word Moriah, which over and over again.
Oh, wow.
David said, I'll not give the Lord something that didn't cost me something.
Yeah.
God asked us something that he didn't ask you. And he asks you something. I'm still eating my pint a night. Because he hadn't asked me yet to change that part. And it's because he loves us, like, over and over. The faith is a response to his love for us.
Yeah.
And our daughter Moriah has changed our whole lives.
Wow.
And your son Philip has changed your whole life.
Yes.
And that's in honor of a reciprocation of the love relationship that we have with God. And so each one of us, that's why the Bible talks about the rich variety of the Christian life and why we get together to, like my daughter, why do I have to wear church clothes to church? It's because we honor this beautiful body of togetherness, which has each one a different experience of faith and a different response out of love, that we enjoy each other and can learn from each other. That's why Abraham was the father, because there was nobody else yet to join with him, to be that body with him. And that's why what we have is such a privilege to share each other's experiences. And maybe tonight he's going to tell me to stop eating that.
Well,
yes,
you go, girl.
There is one sacrifice that we are all required or asked to give, and that's every believer, and that is the sacrifice of praise.
Yeah,
that's the sacrifice of praise. It's what you do when you really don't want to give up that pint.
Oh,
you're giving it up as a sacrifice of praise. That is praise. That is worship.
Yeah,
when you do, there's nothing more says love like obedience.
That's good.
And that's all I got to say.
That's good.
My team is cobbled.
You want to know something funny, though?
What's that?
After I made the decision to stop eating that ice cream, I had a little bit left. I went back to eating it. It wasn't as good.
Didn't taste good, did it?
I thought, what in the world?
Yep.
I thought, well, what was I eating it for? Well, yeah, I was like, well, next year, you know, I might have scooped some good business. Next year, we're just going to, like, maybe, you know, like, go as a family. I ain't going to go by on a lunch break and, you know, spend, like, $30 on some pints. No. Yeah, not going to fit that in the budget next year. Anyways, anybody else got anything they want to share on that? All right, I'm going to move on to... Well, you know, Romans 3:20 says that no flesh will be justified by the works of the law. Faith has come. There's no longer a need for a tutor. I've got about 2 minutes before the bell goes off, I think. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ and Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants or seed, as it says in the King James Version. So we're talking about the seed of Abraham. Heirs according to the promise. That's the seed I'm talking about. We're literally the seed of Abraham, which comes by faith. And we have the blessing of Abraham on our lives too. In fact, if you look at Romans 3:21 through 23, it says, apart from the law of the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all sin falls short of the glory of God. If you go down further, it says, we're justified. It says 24, being justified is a gift. So we're justified by faith as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to have to jump through this because we're running out of time. Verse 26, for the demonstration say of his righteousness at the present times that he'd be just and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. So verse 27 through 28, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law of works? No, but by a law of faith. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And again, verses 29 to 30. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, the Gentiles also, since indeed God will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. If you look at Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're justified by faith, not by works. Man, I ain't got time to go into that. I will briefly expound on something here. If you look at what he says in Romans 4, verses, I know I'm jumping all over the place, I'm sorry. Verses 1 through 5 says, what shall we say then? Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it's credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. I want to take a quick detour to James 2 here, because that seems to contradict what it says in James 2. It says, what use is it, brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So faith without works is dead. James asks if faith without works can save. He says faith without works is dead. Well, I've got just a few minutes. He says, but someone may say to you, verse 18 through 26, James 2, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was Abraham, our father, justified by works when he was offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. I've got about 3 minutes, so I'm just going to summarize what I've got here, which is a lot. So saving faith, works does not produce saving faith. Saving faith produces works, I think is a good way to put that. Your faith to get saved is going to bring you to the place of salvation, but from that point on, a saving faith is going to bear fruit in producing those works. Works does not produce saving faith, but saving faith will produce works. Faith is perfected in works of obedience, because that requires great faith, according to verse 22. Abraham believed God, and because he believed God, he obeyed and acted. Saving faith produced works. If you look at that in verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And I'm going to get in that kind of next week. But I think I'm going to actually end it here. I just thought, because those two seem to contradict each other, I'd point that out, because we're actually going to read quite a bit from James next week. But so saving faith is going to bear fruit, I guess, but that's not the work. So a lot of people think that repentance, I've heard people say they think repentance is a work. No, repentance is obedience. I mean, and so they get hung up on these little things. I mean, yes, you believe and confess with your mouth, and then that's it. But from there, there's going to be some growth. There's going to be some maturity. A lot of people get hung up on that, and I didn't want to. I was just going to briefly mention that before we close, but. Next week, I think we're going to get into waging war prophecy, maybe, I think, and some things. Yes, endurance, perseverance. So getting to the meat of it, kind of. And week four is where I think I got some things I'm really excited to share. But y'all been a good crowd. Thank y'all. I'm excited to be doing this. Just something new, and felt like the Lord's been speaking to me about it a while. In fact, he said a while back that I got some good things to say. He said, you need to share. I'm like, what, me? You sure you got the right guy? Somebody behind me? Kind of deal. But.
And this week, it's so much better. I mean, you're more relaxed.
Yeah.
Really more relaxed.
Yeah, I am. I was definitely a little more high strung, and I was also feeling pretty bad last week still. I was getting over that sinus infection. I sound a lot better. I can just tell. I listened to myself on the mic, like, ooh, I sounded rough last week. But I'm going to pray, and we'll close. It's 10:15, according to my iPad. Lord, just thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Just be the sermon today, Lord, the worship team, all those in the different functions of the body, and the children's church, Lord, the ushers. Just thank you for all that you do for us here at Father's Vineyard, Lord. We'll just give you thanks. Just pray that everybody receives something from this, Lord, and that it changes their lives and brings transformation to them as it has to me. And we just give you thanks, glory, and honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.